listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 181. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy with flair when he tells me I'm allowed to talk, John Brownstone.
Hey.
I mean, nobody can see it in a podcast, but that was very flary.
That was the reason for the hey.
There was an embellishment. There's words. Words are not coming, but there was words to describe whatever that was.
I have flair.
You do have flair. Yeah. You have your own style of flair.
And very soon I'll have even more flair.
I know, we'll talk about that later.
Yes.
Okay. This week, we're answering questions sent in by listeners, partly because the questions are just the kinds of things we get over and over again that a lot of people are asking about with regards to DS and BDSM, and partly because there are a lot more of y'all than there are of us, and I can only spend so many hours a day replying
both
to emails. So, we're going to answer these in an episode. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. And those reviews really do work, and if you're ever like, what can I possibly do to help those Loving BDSM people out? Leaving a review on whatever podcast app you're using is a beautiful, beautiful way to do it.
Yes, it is.
Costs nothing but about 5 seconds to hit five stars.
Well, yeah.
The maximum amount of stars, whatever it is. Even if this particular episode sucks a little bit, five stars is all we're here for. You can follow.
She's a baby girl. She loves her stars.
I love gold stars.
And
yes.
The baby girl is strong in this one tonight.
I know, right? Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that later, too. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at that handle I will forever fucking hate, LovingDS and the number one. Or you can subscribe and watch us on YouTube at youtube.com/lovingbdsm, where you can actually watch us live stream the podcast every Wednesday. All links are in the show notes. Big shout out, as always, to our kinky patrons over on Patreon, including our newest peeps. We see you, we love you, we thank you. We could not do this without you. If you'd like access to more content, to more us, to more questions being answered, to just more, you can become one of our kinky patrons for as little as $1 a month over at patreon.com/KaylaLords. It's patreon.com/KaylaLords. $1, $5, $10, whatever you got, for however long you can. It all helps. It helps us pay for hosting and for equipment and for our time and for all the things. All the things. So, Patreon.
And coffee.
And coffee. Oh, my God, yes. Patreon.com/KaylaLords.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Oh, my God. You just dommed me on. It's not national television. I got dommed on YouTube. That needs to be a shirt. I got dommed on YouTube. I know that was only specific to me. But, okay. So, one announcement, like actual announcement for everybody. Just a reminder, podcast awards nominations are still going on through the month of July. It's podcastawards.com. If you like what we do, we'd love to get nominated. All nominating does is mean that we have a better chance of actually being judged by the panel of judges, who hopefully won't think we're so far out there that they should ignore us. So, I mean, I'm sort of wondering when somebody's going to knock on the door and go, I'm taking your microphone. You're not allowed to do this anymore. So it's podcastawards.com. If you are watching on YouTube, the link is down below. Podcast listeners, podcastawards.com, which hopefully is easy enough to remember, but the link is in the show notes. Okay. Quick announcement for me for once.
Yeah.
Okay. So we are answering questions this week.
Mm-hmm.
We will probably make this some kind of regular thing. And when I say regular, like every couple of months, because I think it would get boring if, I don't know, some people might really like just us constantly answering questions, but I would get bored. Sometimes like have a thing I really want to talk about, and I want to rant for an hour about a thing.
Not you.
I know, right? But we have several questions that we've received. And y'all, these questions all came within just the last few days. It is a nice thing that people trust us enough to confide in us, their worries and their fears. It's an honor. It's very humbling. It is, in all honesty, sometimes very overwhelming. When my anxiety kicks in, it is very hard to deliver the amount of emotional energy it takes to look at another human being's problem and go, how can I talk about this and in an impartial way, because I can't possibly have the right answer, but maybe I can guide somebody. Yeah. There are a lot more of you than there are of us, so we get a lot of questions, and it takes a while. And if we're busy, which we usually are, or if one of us is, either of us really, is kind of having an off day, we just push it back. My little trick in my email inbox and in our shared, the Loving BDSM email box inbox, is I leave it as, I'm marked as unread, so I know to go back to it and it doesn't get lost. And you know, y'all will be shocked by this, with my generalized anxiety, my perfectionism, my legit OCD diagnosed, notifications really bother me. they really bother me. So it's also kind of stressful. So we're hoping that this allows us to help more people and save ourselves a little bit of time. Please do not think that means we don't want you to ask questions. We do. We definitely want you to ask questions. We just might not answer them in the same way that we used to. Okay. So we're going to get into the questions. Let's see. Where am I? There we go. I found them.
All right.
Sorry, y'all. I was like, how do buttons? What? What are tabs? I don't know
why you don't bring your mouse.
Oh, that, because that would be way over here. Okay, so the, sorry, podcast listeners. So the laptop is in the center of the coffee table. And the way I use a mouse is like way out in literal right field, because I'm right-handed. Nowhere near the actual computer. Our coffee table's not that big. It would not work. Okay. So we're going to try and do a little bit of rapid fire on this.
Okay.
Because these are all broad topics, and we have talked about them in different ways. But I want to try and give some answers that would help somebody immediately if they just started here.
Okay.
And if anybody... if any of these questions relate to something you want to know more about, if we have blog posts, podcast episodes, or videos that we've made that pertain to any of these, they will all be in the show notes when I make the show notes later. Okay? So you can get more information. This question, sort of, I had to sit back and go, that's a big question. Question was basically, how do you get into 24/7 DS? How do you start?
How do you start? Slowly.
Slowly. That was what I thought too. Yep.
Very,
very
slowly. It's not something you want to jump into willy-nilly.
Nope.
You know, kind of an out of the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah, especially if you're just now coping with the idea that, oh, you might be kinky and your partner wants to try kink, and then it's, oh, well, now let's do 24/7 DS. Yeah. Like that, those are two massive leaps that you don't want to try and take all
because
at once.
Because you try to do it too quickly, it's very easy to become overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And you become overwhelmed, then you get frustrated, and it's not going to work.
Or you make a mistake, screw something up big enough, bad enough, because you didn't know, or you were moving too fast, or whatever, that either you or your partner go... I don't think I want to do this anymore, because some screw-ups can do that to people.
Right. You know, the other part of this is something that we have said often, time and time again, communicate.
Yeah. You're going to do a lot more talking before you do any doing.
Right.
When you go 24/7.
When we started moving our relationship more into DS, we talked till the cows came home.
And then we talked some more.
And then we talked some more.
I'm a talker. And not a shocker.
You know, we took baby steps. We moved slow. Implemented one rule. We worked on that rule. When that was flowing well, then came another protocol. Then, and then what we did, because we were new, we would do a 6-month check-in.
And that is not negating the constant ongoing sort of laid back check-ins of I got something on my mind, can we talk about it? This was like an official check-in.
Right.
This was what else happened, we were doing this one.
This was a 6 months down the road. We set aside a night that her and I were gonna go sit and we're gonna talk. And how is this working for you? What do you like? What don't you like? What's good, what's bad, the ugly.
To think about or to realize, however you want to put that.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people imagine 24/7 DS. When they think of 24/7 DS, what they're imagining is you know this kinky way we talk to one another, and you know that really commanding tone you use as dom, and that really like kind of light and passive tone you use as submissive, and you know how you're constantly like not making eye contact or making really serious eye contact or whatever is the hallmark of how you interact as DS. People get in their head that to be 24/7 means you're going to do that 24/7. That is almost never true.
No.
In certain high protocol relationships, that can be more true. But correct. If you've got any sort of vanilla life still going on around you, job, children, your caregiver to an adult, whatever your
illness,
life is.
Anything, yeah.
That is not how it's going to be. So get that picture out of your head completely. That is very overwhelming for a lot of people because that's what they're imagining. And then they're going, but... They're trying to reconcile that with, but wait, I still have to go to work and I still have to talk to my boss and I still have to be a parent. 24/7, when you integrate your vanilla life, truly is an integration. All it means is that you remember most of the time who's in charge and who isn't. And you find ways, mostly subtle, of navigating your life with that power structure. So that means when we're cooking dinner, or we're just planning dinner, my first question as a submissive in a 24/7 relationship is, what do you want, Daddy? How would you like this to go, Daddy? When we're planning something, I'll say, hey, I've got ideas. What do you think of this? I don't barrel through, even in my exuberance, with here's what we're going to do. I mean, I have, and sometimes we're not perfect, y'all. It happens. I'm a baby girl. But as long as my mind is in the game... Every interaction, for us, this is what 24/7 means. Every interaction is with the knowledge that one of us is in charge and one of us isn't. It doesn't mean I don't share my opinion. That doesn't mean I don't get mad at stuff. That doesn't mean I'm not disappointed. That doesn't mean we don't find a compromise. He might disagree with me. I might disagree with him. We're two grown-ass people. We're going to sit down and talk about it. Ultimately, he gets to make the decision because that's what I consented to. But we're going to find a middle ground so everybody can be as happy as possible. Yeah. That's what 24/7 means for the vast majority of us who still have vanilla lives to navigate.
Now, Eva asked a question in regards to, do we still do the six-month sit-down? At this
not
point
anymore.
In our relationship. And no, we don't.
And I think for some people, that kind of structure is really good in however long you're together, especially if you have a really, really high protocol relationship. High protocol means that there's a lot of rules, that there's a lot of steps, that there is a certain expectation that a submissive will behave this way and a dominant will behave this way at all times or most of the time. Some people can manage that and some people cannot. Okay, if you cannot, you are no less dom or sub than the person who can. But in those high protocol situations, if that's the type of 24/7 DS you're after, I think you need more formal check-ins. We are extremely informal with each other and we now spend a good portion of our professional life talking about DS. So we have grown comfortable with each other. We know each other very well. I'm a lot more outspoken than I used to be. I know y'all are shocked that there was a time I was not like this, but it is true. And so I'm a lot more comfortable too. And part of that is the trust that can grow between you, especially in 24/7 DS. Because when we are doing this all the time, as best we can all the time, it means that I am more often thinking about the dynamic. So when something goes wrong, I might have to use my little baby girl voice. I might have to ask for, hey, when is it a good time for us to talk about this? But I'm going to bring up a point as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
That's the other thing with 24/7. Even if you have those markers of 3 months or 6 months or a year or whatever of a formal check-in, you have to get really good, really fast at learning how to communicate within the confines of your dynamic, you know, whatever is considered respectful, whatever is considered, you know, appropriate for how y'all function as in DS, but you still, because things, everything is about DS at that point, even if you're not consciously aware of it. I'm not consciously aware of it. Sometimes, as y'all see, I get in trouble and get dommed on YouTube, okay? And if you're a podcast listener, I highly encourage you to go watch that little bit of the video. I'm not perfect. I'm not a robot thinking about it all the time, but it over time I have grown used to, and I've learned how to incorporate it into all parts of our life.
Well,
and that's a time thing.
Right. Through trial and error, we have figured out what works for us.
Trial and error. Mistakes are made and you fuck it up sometimes.
So through that, we have found what works for us. And we reached a point where at one of those 6-month sit downs, we were like, well, no, everything's really going good. Do we need to continue doing this? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to say that we don't have those talks. There are times when things blip in the real world. When my sister took ill, when we moved.
God, yeah.
Okay, because of the stress. There are times when Kayla's anxiety flares up.
There are times, and we've talked about this in so many episodes, we talk about vanilla life getting in the way.
Yes.
How this works in our relationship is typically at some point in the middle of the night, we're both laying in bed. We've barely talked for days. We certainly haven't fucked. We hadn't done anything kinky. Neither of us can sleep. We'll both tell you that we don't know why. And it's usually me because I'm kind of empathic this way. But one of us in the dark bedroom goes, we're off, aren't we?
We need a reset.
Something ain't right. And at that moment, that is when the spell is broken and we start laughing about it. We start talking about it. We start taking greater care with the DS side of our relationship. We make a plan to go sit and talk about things. We focus on each other more because we've forced ourselves to do it. Mm-hmm. So to get into 24/7 DS, there's a lot of things. Go slow. Yeah. Be patient. Communicate until you're sick of freaking communicating.
And learn, whether you read books, read blogs, listen to podcasts like ours or any others that are
kink-related. Be willing and be understanding that you're going to screw up. You are going to make mistakes. You're going to try something that doesn't work. It doesn't mean the whole experiment's a failure. It means that one thing doesn't work.
Be aware of the reality versus the fantasy of 24/7.
Yes. Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
And realize that whatever 24/7 means to you is a valid definition. It doesn't have to look anything like our 24/7. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to look like 24/7 of some dude you met at a munch who's been... There are always these people who will tell you they've been in the lifestyle 20, 30 years. And every time they talk to you, they tell you 5 or 6 times. That person is always there somewhere. It doesn't have to look like any of those. It only has to work for the two of you.
Right.
But if there's one piece of advice I would hope anybody interested in 24/7 would take, is to go slow.
Mm-hmm.
Not try to do all the things at one time, because that's where you're going to fuck up. Okay.
Okay.
We're going to get in. Oh, this one is good for both of us because we both know the perspective on this one. Okay. Mm-hmm. In the question that we were sent, the dominant wants their submissive to start saying what they want. They want a spanking. They want this. Whatever their kinky thing is. Apparently, in this email, prior to that, they hadn't had to do that. But the dominant has said, this is what I want you to do. To ask for what they want. To verbalize what they want. Hmm. So the submissive... I know. Stop making that face at me. The submissive feels silly and weird. And it's this new thing. And what they want to know is how to get over feeling weird or silly for asking for the kinky thing that they want. So you're right. If you've never, ever, ever had to ask for what you want, it feels weird as fuck the first few times you start doing it. It is so. Some people are good at it. Some people are like, I've been asking what I want since I could speak. Well, great. Some of us have not. I am one of them. I learned how to be really polite and wait my turn and let somebody offer and then take whatever they offered. And that's not always healthy either. A certain somebody who only doms me on YouTube taught me how to ask for what I want.
Yes.
And it was uncomfortable and it was difficult and I felt stupid and weird and like something was wrong. But you know what? After all these years together, here's the lesson. I can ask for what I fucking want. And I can ask for what I want in kink, and that lesson transfers. I can ask for what I want in other ways.
Now, I'm not going to lie. She was a hard nut to crack.
Yeah, well, everybody's figured that out already, just in general.
And what I had to do was kind of get it out of her in stages.
We did. And see, that is the thing I would talk, if this is you and this, talk to your dominant about ways to do this. Because some people will not automatically verbalize these things. They need stages. So we've talked about this in the past. Write it down first.
Yes.
Okay?
Email, text, paper.
Piece of paper, right? Mm-hmm. Start by writing it down. Then once you get kind of comfortable with that and you're like, oh, this is easy. I can write down what I want. Then you move. We moved to a stage where we spoke in code.
Gave her a code word.
Not even just a code word. I used different phrases. I told you what I wanted without saying the words, but because you knew what I meant by that.
Daddy, my skin feels tight.
That was please spank my ass because I'm a stressed out mess.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I got comfortable with that, and it depends on why you feel silly or weird. And you do have to look into that as well. But once I got comfortable with that, then I could, I mean, I'm finally at a point now, I'm like, when are you going to spank me again? Because I could use one. While. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there are also nonverbal communications, wiggling my ass in his general direction or whining when he rubs my butt and then stops. And like, there's all kinds of ways to communicate with a partner as you're with them long term. But the thing I would suggest for a person who feels weird or silly is to look inside a little bit and try and figure out what it is that makes you feel that way. So is it that you've just never had to ask and you're feeling uncertain and unsure? Is it that you maybe have some leftover feelings of potential rejection? If you have to say it out loud and you have to ask for it, it does mean the other person could tell you no. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a harder, scary thing. Rejection is harder and scary for all of us. That's just a truth. But if you've never had to ask for those things, maybe you're just not quite comfortable talking about your kinks yet. And that for many of us, you get comfortable just the more you do it, the more you learn that you can trust the person you're with to honor your feelings, to honor your wants and your desires, to not laugh at you when you say, hey, I was thinking about this kinky thing to try. And that is a time thing. But if you are truly struggling, I mean, I have sat in silence when we first started, before we started doing the writing thing, he would want me to say something and we would just sit in silence because I could not force those words past my mouth. It was not happening. So if that is your situation, then I would go back to your partner and say, look, can we try this in stages?
Right.
Kayla said, I don't mind. Go ahead.
One of the things I did, which because I thought this was kind of funny because you had a blog and that's how we met and you would write on your blog.
And I would also talk about the things I wanted to do on that blog.
Yeah.
Where I knew you would read them.
But you wouldn't, but you would not verbalize them to me.
Saying the words out loud, yeah.
So what I did was to kind of facilitate that, to get a little bit more of a direct answer from her, I set up a Google Doc, a shared Google Doc with her. And in that Google Doc, she could openly write whatever she wanted.
I could write anything. It didn't even have to be about desires. It could be whatever was on my mind.
Right.
And it was a direct link from my mind to him.
It was private so that it wasn't open to the world like the blog.
Right.
But
and for she could. For me, I needed that for a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
Because what he was doing was teaching me I could trust him. And so once I decided I would trust him and I realized I could trust him and everything he did honored that trust, I don't know if y'all noticed that I'm an open mouth and let the words flow kind of girl.
Yeah.
I did. He was now at the point he'd like me to shut up, quite frankly. but it is a practice thing. It is a thinking about why you get nervous, why it feels so strange. And then finding methods that let you push past that, do it in stages and steps. Our stages and steps might not be right for you.
Yeah.
It's still always, always worth talking to your partner about because you might have gone, okay, I'll do that. And then it's time to do that. And you've never said that you're freaking out and you can't do it or you're terrified or whatever you're feeling in the moment. And then you're not doing it. And all they know about the whole situation is you said you'd do it and now you're not doing it. And they don't know any of the in between. So you got to have the conversation to say, is there some way you can help me with this? Or is there some other way we can do this until I get used to it? Or here's how I'm feeling about this and why this feels so strange to me. And sometimes verbalizing those feelings and talking it through with a partner you trust is enough to get over them. But you have to have the conversation about it too. Okay, we're going to go to our next question.
Yep.
Okay. And this is another general one that was like, I know, I'm not even quite sure how to answer this one. But it's a sweet question.
It is.
I like it that somebody would ask this question.
Yeah.
They basically said, how can I be a great dom to my submissive? How can I be a good dominant?
There's a lot of ways.
There's so many ways, but yeah. the first one is to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're communicating, that's not just about you talking, it's about you listening. And truly, a lot of people are not used to being listened to. Right. You can earn so much goodwill just by listening.
But there's a lot of different things that go into being a good dom.
And it's not about technique. It's not about knowledge, even.
It's earning their trust.
Being consistent.
That in and of itself is something that is so unequivocally important. Because being consistent shows that you have accepted the responsibility of being a dominant.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Respecting them, respect your sub. I believe I already said that. Learn as much as you can. When I first stepped into the world of DS, and I was engaged in having my first submissive, I wanted to be the best dominant I could be for them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I would go online. I would read. I started attending munches. And I started talking with people. I started talking with other dominants in the lifestyle. I even started talking with other submissives, because that gave me the insight to how they work.
Mm-hmm. Give you other perspectives too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I would have to say is be willing to admit when you make a mistake.
Oh, yes.
Okay. It's going to happen. It will happen.
It'll suck for both of you when it happens.
Yeah, it
just
does.
Will.
Yeah, it does. But, being a dominant to me is not all about the kinky fuckery.
No.
We've talked about this. It is about being a good leader. Because as a dominant, you are the leader in that relationship. And being able to admit your mistakes,
mm-hmm.
it's a big thing. That's a big thing. And that goes a long way, And if you say, I'll never make a mistake, it happens to everybody. At one time or another, it's going to happen.
And that's regardless of the experience level you have.
Yeah.
I mean, new people make mistakes. Yeah. That's a guarantee.
Right.
People who've been in the lifestyle forever still fuck up because we're human. It's what we do. The other thing, show gratitude. Now, people will respond to gratitude in different ways. They need more or less than somebody else. But it might be what you might negotiate a DS dynamic where your every need and want is met and your submissive serves constantly. And that's what fulfills them. It costs you nothing to every once in a while throw out a thank you, okay? And to mean it.
Good now, job, baby girl.
I do like that.
See?
I do like that. It doesn't make you weak to say thank you. It doesn't make any of us as human beings on this planet to show gratitude when somebody takes care of us, does something for us, even if it's something that they're, quote, expected to do, okay? I can always tell somebody who has never worked in a service industry, retail, food, any of that,
mm-hmm.
can always tell because they literally say, well, they're paid to do that work. I don't have to thank them. Excuse me?
What?
You want to know how much better things go for you when you know that your hard work is appreciated, especially if maybe you went a little bit above and beyond or you tried really hard or whatever? So you're submissive in whatever way you negotiate. Not every submissive is a service submissive, but submissives serve in different ways because if they are trying to meet the needs of their dominant in whatever way works for both of you, they are serving, even if it is not being of service in a very black and white, cut and dried kind of way. Saying thank you and meaning it shows that, one, you're paying attention, and two, you realize that if they didn't choose to do that for you, you'd have to do that shit for yourself, or you wouldn't have it. And it makes difference. It makes a huge difference.
Kayla was amazed when we first got together, because when we were out and about, whether we were in a restaurant or Starbucks, or, you know, any place like that, if we were being waited on for any reason, ordering a coffee, I always take the time to look and see what, if they're wearing a name tag, what their name is. Mm-hmm. And I always say, thank you, so-and-so.
You are truly one of the kindest, most polite people I know. I have become a nicer person simply because I hang around with you, because I am always, try to be, pleasant and say thank you. Mm-hmm. You go an extra mile that most people don't go, and it shows, because there's not a Starbucks that we can go into more than about three times. They don't know him. The Starbucks in the town where we just moved from, he did not go to that Starbucks for over a year?
Almost 2 years.
2 years. We moved to that town after we had the crappy apartment in Clearwater. Mm-hmm. We moved to the other town, to our condo. We walk in there for the first time in nearly 2 years. We happened to be there for the morning shift. The morning shift was pretty, that crew hadn't changed a lot. It was like Norm walking into Cheers. Baristas up and down the line went, John, you're here. And I was like, wait, you told me you hadn't been here. Because when you are kind to people, people remember you.
Yeah.
Okay. We were at Erotikon in London. By the third visit to this one Starbucks, the women who worked the morning shift, at least in the middle of the week, they didn't know his name yet. They knew his order. They were happy to see him. They were moderately happy to see me with him. It's fine. I'm used to that too. It was like, damn. We had, okay, all my examples are Starbucks because we spend a ridiculous amount of time in Starbucks. Whatever.
You think?
Whatever. When we were moving, the night crew, it was like two or three, like really young kids. I say young kids, high school, early college. They told us, we're like, we're really sad to see you go. We've had others who would make a point when they were leaving Starbucks to come talk to him and say, I'm leaving. I'm going off to college. I'm moving away. I'm going to miss you. Not me. It's fine. That's what happens when you're a genuinely kind person, okay? Maybe you don't want that much attention. I understand. Neither do I. But people remember how you treat them. They remember when you're respectful. They remember when you are patient. They remember when you say thank you. And if you want to be a good anything in life, a little bit more patience, a lot more kindness, and a shit ton of gratitude will get you a long way. You don't have to be the best at anything. You don't have to be the smartest at anything. You don't have to be the nothing at anything. If you can do those things, you've done a lot more than most people. And as a dominant, you don't have to know what the hell you're doing. I assure you, most of them are walking around going, fuck, I don't know. Let's just do what we did last time, right? It's okay. You're not alone there. But if you can be kind and respectful and show gratitude, your heads and shoulders above most people in general.
Yeah.
And as somebody who serves, like every job I've ever had has been some sort of service role. Clearly every relationship I've ever had, even when I didn't know it, it's who I am. I'm a service sub. I get it. I work harder when I know people are thankful for what I've done, or happy that I'm there, you know, just said thank you, even if they didn't have to. I am a big one to go, oh, you don't have to say thank you. But inside I'm like, they said thank you. That's so nice. Okay. So that's, and we have done an episode on gratitude.
Yes.
That important to us. I am not good at these quote, quick fire kind of questions, am I? Mm-hmm. Okay. So this question is going to sound one way, but I want to preface it with the other part of the question. The person who asked this question was online and was seeing apparently some discussions about fake DOMs, which we got opinions around here about them. They were not asking about fake DOMs. I think what they wanted to make sure is that they don't ever get ripped to pieces online because they did something bad. So they said, they asked, what are the general rules for DOMs and subs and meeting others in the BDSM community, but with the preface of basically not being the one that gets just dragged online for shitty, shitty behavior. Here's the thing. The first thing that came to my mind, and this is not a flippant answer, I mean this, I'm dead ass serious. Don't be a fucking asshole, ever. Like, be a, you are human, you are a person before you are a dominant or a submissive.
Mm-hmm.
Be a decent person. Now, some people don't know what that means, and I get that. Let's go back to kindness, patience, gratitude will get you very far in this life.
Yes.
But yeah, do not lead with your role. Do not lead your introductions or the way you engage with people as a dominant.
I think the biggest thing that you need to understand in that case is the other person may be a submissive.
They're not your submissive.
But they are not your submissive.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that goes the other way. They may be a dominant, they're not your daddy dom. You only get to call them whatever their title is when you earn that, to my little submissive friends out there. I'm just saying. Don't be throwing yourself at everybody.
Yeah, you know, don't go into it because you are a dominant and you know, that they need to bow to you. That's not the way it works. Just be a decent person. In some cases, even online, this is going to sound silly, but read the profile.
Oh God, just read a profile.
Read the profile.
What did they say about themselves? Who are they attached to? What is their role?
Many submissives will say, and I have seen this on many profiles, do not contact me without contacting my dom first.
Mm-hmm. If they tell you to do that, then honor that.
Right.
Or they'll say, please no DMs.
Yes.
So if somebody says explicitly, where everybody can see it, please don't DM me. Don't DM them.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't.
Yeah.
Truly, it's not that hard to be a dom or sub, a good dom or sub in the BDSM community. If you just remember that we are all people here, that the only power you have over a person or the control you give up to a person is what you negotiate with another human being and nobody else. And you treat everybody equally as if they deserve equal respect, because we all do, regardless, then you're already doing better than some, okay?
Yeah.
If you walk into online, so a virtually walk in, or you go to a munch and you're like, I'm a dominant, so I have to dominate this room. I have to be in control. No, the fuck you don't. You just gotta be just like the rest of us, kind of hungry because you came to the munch, and so you're gonna order food and you're gonna have your own like little quirks and insecurities and you're gonna feel weird just like the rest of us, and that's fine, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't demand anything of anybody. You ask, you know? You listen before you speak. You listen more than you speak. If you ever want to just like not worry about making a bad impression, that's my go-to trick. I listen way more than I speak. I wait until I feel like I should say something. You know, and dominants, I think, do find this harder. They kind of feel like they're supposed to, I'm in control, so I should be in control of everything. I will tell you, in the local community, I don't pay attention to it as much online. It is a little bit easier to ignore online, but my biggest pet peeve in the local community is when, and no offense, clearly I love me some male dominance, okay? It's jam. But there is something about two or three, and it's never all of them, but two or three men who identify as dominant, who do this one-upman bullshit. Mm. Well, I've used a blah, blah, blah tail whip. Well, I've blah, blah, blah. And next thing I know this person over here has been in the lifestyle for 30 years, and he's never heard of that thing you're talking about. And this person over here, well, they've been in the lifestyle 35 years. And that, it's a dominance thing, like little d-dominance, I mean. And it's annoying. And it's obnoxious.
That does happen.
You don't have to be in control when you're dealing with the community. If you're a dominant, you only got to be in control of the person who gave you permission to be in control of them. The rest of us, we just want to make friends and chit chat.
Right. Now, you know, in the local community, it depends where you are. At a munch, it's a vanilla.
True.
It's a vanilla setting. Things are very low key. You know, you're at a restaurant. 9 times out of 10, munches are held at a restaurant.
Right.
A local restaurant.
And you're out in public. Like
you're out in public.
You.
So, you know, protocol is very low other than general decency.
Right.
Now, the one thing that does apply at the munches and is, you know, some people are huggers, some people are not.
Just ask.
You know, ask.
Get consent first.
Okay. Now, if you're at a play party, if you're at a dungeon.
Or you're in somebody's house at a play party.
Or you're in somebody's house for a play party. Especially if you're at somebody's house, it's always best to ask what the house rules are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Those can vary from place to place. A dungeon will generally, especially the first time you go there when you join, they will give you the house rules. Okay, which basically comes down to consent, you know.
How did Master Cecil put it when we were at the woodshed? He was like, don't touch nothing that don't belong to you. And I was like, I think that's just a good rule of life.
Now, in some cases at dungeons, I have seen couples that the dominant, you do not speak to the submissive without asking permission first.
We have been to parties where the rule was... The house rule was, you want to talk to a submissive, a partnered submissive?
Ask permission.
You have to talk to their dominant first. So, in general, in higher protocol situations, a dungeon, a party, if you see that two people are together, if you can figure out who the dominant is, in those situations, you usually can. The submissive's often naked and on the floor. Mm-hmm. Just how that goes. But if you're not quite sure, ask. But if you are, start with the dominant and then see how, and some people, I throw people off all the time because they'll start to talk to him wanting to address me. And I'm like, hey, I'm right here, because we don't have that. We have that when I'm uncomfortable. We actually do that more for my comfort than for any protocol-y kind of thing, because you can't keep this baby girl down. I'm going to have something to say, but not everybody's like that. Right. So I think if you can keep in mind, whatever your role is, you are not that to anybody other than a negotiated partner. So when you are interacting with the community online, in person, be who you are. I mean, if you're an asshole, that'll come out eventually anyway. But if you like, just be your normal self. Like, don't put on airs.
I forget. It's been so long since I've been in school. The golden rule.
Yeah. Do unto others as you would have them
have done to you. Right. Yeah.
The other thing, and this is where a lot of people get raked over the coals and they kind of deserve it, but I know why it happens, but the way you do BDSM is hopefully right for you. But there is no one true way, a single right way, the only way. And that will get you labeled fake or crap, especially online, where we're sort of constantly monitoring and policing this kind of stuff quicker than anything. So when you're talking about what BDSM means to you, what it means to be a dom, what it means to be a submissive, you should always sort of couch that in, this is what works for me, this is how I do it. The moment you go with, well, this is what it is, as if it's a blanket rule for everybody, you have not made any friends, my friend. Not at
always, all. Always remember, and I always mess this up, so I'm going to need your help with this, girl.
Okay. I'm helpful.
Yes, you are. Your kink's not my kink.
But your kink's okay.
Right. You know, everybody does it different. What works for one person doesn't work for somebody else. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you just don't go in...
I can't say we all. Many of us have that polite face. We do it with a boss or a parent. I do it with children. Where you know how to smile and nod when somebody says something that in your head you're like, what the fuck is that? You smile and nod. Somebody's going to talk to you about a kink that you're like, okay, you just made my skin crawl. Yep. Smile and nod. Or go, no, that's cool. Not my thing, but that's cool, right? Like, you don't ever have, there's never a reason to tell somebody that the thing they're into is wrong, unless we are talking about clear violations of consent or something illegal, which clear violation of consent is illegal. So if they're like, yeah, I'm into golden showers, and that personally makes my skin crawl. Like the idea, I don't like getting my own pee on me. I'm just saying. When I hear somebody talk about it, I go, oh, okay. I've even read some stuff that I was like, oh, wow, that had that in that, but that was really good writing. We're cool. Age play, totally not my thing. Like, totally not my thing. Can be around people talking about it because it's their thing. It's not my thing. What affects them doesn't have to affect me. So that's another thing that you want to avoid if you would like to make friends and influence people in the BDSM life. Yeah. There is no one true way. Your way is only your way, and your way way is only your way for right now until you learn a new way and you change your mind and want to do something different. So, okay. Okay.
Right.
This one, I wasn't quite sure what they were asking, but I also understand the pain. So
yeah.
The way the question came out was, what's the best way to promote this lifestyle in, and they named their state, and I'm not going to name their state, in conservative areas. I don't think they mean promote the lifestyle, but basically the way I take this question, if this is your question, email me again with clarification if I get this wrong, was how do you live this lifestyle when you're in a conservative area? I want to tell you a few things. First of all, way more people are kinky just because they're not talking about it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're not. Second of all, kinksters live in conservative areas. You yourself as a person who's like, shit, I'm a kinkster in a conservative area are proof of that. So you're not alone. And it's like most of us who go against the grain do everything in a conservative area. Yeah. Just
well,
in whatever way is comfortable to you.
I mean, if you know, promote the lifestyle in a conservative area, I would take that as you know, how do you connect with other people to promote different things? Well, whether it be munches, socials, game nights. You want to get on to places like FetLife.
Yeah.
The Cage.
Yeah.
You know, anywhere that there is a community. All right.
Yep.
You know, FetLife, you can go in and you can search areas. It's tough. I mean, some areas are easier than others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know in the Bible Belt, in a lot of areas in the Bible Belt throughout the South, munches are not able to be held in local places.
It's a very serious process to get the information to go to something.
Yes. You know, they're still held, but they may be held at a home where you do need to be vetted.
Or the
for
rules are
like
very
that.
Strict.
Yes.
Like, there are certain places I could walk into a munch with a t-shirt like this, and somebody would look at me funny, but very few people, nobody's going to question me.
Right.
They're going to be like, oh, there's that weird chick with a hashtag baby girl shirt on. Okay. We live now in a much more conservative area than we did. It is not as conservative, I think, as people think it is. My eyes are open. I'm watching people.
Yeah.
Nope. It's not quite as conservative as people think it is, but I would never wear, even something like this, I would never wear in public. Because I don't want to draw attention to the group I'm about to be with. Like, I go to a munch and I look like somebody's mama because I am somebody's mama, but I'm like dressed like my mother.
Yeah.
So that's how sedate it is.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still gather. You just do. Y'all, I've lived in the South my whole life. I know y'all can't tell from listening to me, right?
Who would have thunk?
Rural ass Florida where banjos, y'all. Banjos. There are rural parts to Florida that brave men just don't go. And then in Mississippi. Where there were certain parts of Mississippi you didn't go to because, whoo, Lord. Okay. Those places, people like us have existed there forever. Queer people exist there. Anybody in the LGBTQ spectrum. It is kinky people. People who are different than whatever the norm is supposed to be, which in those areas is white, hetero, and going to church. I still remember we moved to Mississippi. I got asked who my people were and what church I went to. And I was, I can't tell you the last name, but I have a very common last name. And I was like the insert, like, it's like Smiths, but not Smiths, the Smiths and church. Like, I didn't even know how to answer that question. We've been navigating those places. People who are different and on the fringes have been navigating those places forever. Just because we don't have big urbanized areas and we don't have places and it's harder doesn't mean we're not there. So I don't care how rural or conservative it is. Your fellow kinksters are there. People who are different like you are there. Might be harder to find, but they're there.
But they're there.
And you've been navigating that society without maybe outing yourself, which is painful for people who like legit out themselves. Like, I'm talking about LGBTQ, not trying to conflate kink and that. But you know how to navigate these societies, okay? Because you've been doing it. It's no different as a kinkster. Like, you're going to go to a munch if you find a munch in your area, and you're going to make polite talk if you think somebody can hear you. And then once you think nobody can hear you, you'll lighten up a little bit more. You'll get to know people and you'll know more about their job or their kids and you will their kink until you really get to know them and you trust each other, and then you go to dinner at somebody's house, right? Or then you get invited to the play party. So it's harder to navigate the fringes of life in these really conservative areas. I know. But it's not impossible. And you are you're never the only kinky one. Unless mm-hmm. you are in a town with a population of 3 and 2 others are like your kids and then it's you. You're never the only kinky person. You know, the only kinky person.
All it takes is 2, 3, 4, 5 people in an area to get together for a cup of coffee.
And you don't have to talk about kink.
You don't have to talk about kink.
You could just be in a group of people that you know understand you in ways
that nobody else does.
Other people can't.
Right.
And that's all it takes. So if you go on FetLife, we tell you all this all the time. FetLife's problematic. There are some serious issues on FetLife. I get it. But for finding out what's in your local area, it is right now still the best resource.
Yeah.
You go into FetLife, you search your town name, your county name, your region name. Like whatever mm-hmm. your area is known for. I lived in the panhandle of Florida. It has a couple of different names it goes by. That's how I would do it if I didn't see anything for my city or my county. You do the search for whatever your area is called. You see what's there. You go to what appeals to you, what you get the good vibe about, or what you're like, oh yeah, that's at a place I would go to, or that's a place I'm comfortable with. Some people, if you're really nervous, you travel outside your area. Maybe not ridiculously far, but one county over, you're less likely to see somebody. One town over, you're less likely to be seen by somebody you know or to run into somebody you know. Right. And you start exploring. They're out there. And if you don't see it, make one. I mean, there is no BDSM fairy who's about to hit you with their little magic wand and tell you now have the privilege of starting a munch. That is the person who decides to do it, who says, I want kinky friends. Let's see if we can make this happen. You don't get special permission. You just decide to do it. And creating an event and creating a group in FetLife is the purview of everybody with an account. So anybody can do it. And if you're not seeing one in your area, I promise you somebody else is looking.
Yeah.
And it might take time, but you can set that up and eventually people will see it and people will start coming and you'll make friends.
If you announce it, they will come.
Yeah. You have to, basics of marketing and promotion though, you got to announce it a lot of times. Just letting you know. Yeah. So you can be kinky in a conservative area. It is harder. Yes, it is harder. Oh, less that you can do and you have more you have to wade through, and there's always more vetting in conservative areas because people are very concerned about being outed. And yes. But people on the fringes of our heteronormative, cisgender, white Christian society have existed forever. We are all there in whatever flavor we come in. We're there. And now we just hopefully can start using and continue using the tools of the online world, as hellish of a landscape as it can sometimes be, to find one another and to connect.
Okay.
And that is my rant. That's the rant that got me sweaty. I knew there'd be one that would get me all hot and bothered. That one was it.
Okay.
So those are just a sprinkling of the questions we received. Those are literally from just in the past 6 days. These are the questions we get asked.
We have a lot more questions that we've both received individually.
Yes.
Collectively.
We get questions asked to Loving BDSM has its own email, lovingbdsmpodcast@gmail.com. If anybody asks why I didn't get lovingbdsm@gmail.com, it's because I couldn't, y'all. So we do get emails there. We have a contact page at lovingbdsm.net.
Yeah.
I get FetLife DMs. I
get FetLife DMs.
The Loving BDSM FetLife page gets DMs. I get emails. You get emails.
Yes.
Then don't get me started on Twitter DMs and Instagram DMs. Right. There's lots of questions coming.
So we do have and lots of questions.
We want to help as many people as we can. Really do.
This is just a small bit of the questions. And as time allows, here and there, we will answer the question.
Right. And I kind of like doing it this way. And then the next time somebody asks one of these questions, I'll send them this episode and go, hey, we actually answered this here. Go check this out. So we are not saying we do not want questions. We're just saying we will be answering them slightly differently because time and energy are both things. And everybody only
hours in the day for us.
So please feel free to ask your questions. As you can see, we do not out anybody or give any details of who you are when you ask a question. Maintain your anonymity. If answering questions resulted in more questions and you're like, wait, I have other questions, please feel free to, I personally prefer email. What do you prefer?
Email.
Yeah, because I can mark that as unread and that's always open. I only go into FetLife when I get a notification that somebody sent me a message or a friend request. I check Instagram DMs like maybe once a week because I don't always get good notifications. Yeah. Like it's,
I have a tendency to forget those sometimes because they're kind of like hidden. They're kind of hidden away.
Instagram does make those hidden. They're harder to find. So feel free to send your questions. Mm-hmm. Bear with us if we don't answer as quickly. We did have somebody who griped at us that we didn't answer as quickly as they would have liked. That happened. That was a thing that happened.
Yeah.
So that's, we do have a bonus section. We did get mail.
Uh-huh.
Real quick, I want to do a Patreon shout out.
Go for it.
Patreon shout helps us out. Keep doing, truly, if we ever get to a point where Patreon is like our biggest source of income and like pays a mortgage or whatever, I will spend way more time on email. I promise you that. So patreon.com/KaylaLords is where you can join our Kinky Patreon community and get stuff and help us do stuff. And I'm not selling this very well, but that's okay. I want to do our special Patreon shout out to Lorana and Kalina and Jay, Conduit of Queerness itself. I love that name. You can never change that name, Jay. I'm just telling you. And Laura and James, who I have quadruple confirmed
that is there. Okay. All right.
Because I suck at that.
All right.
I feel like today was a very ranty episode. Hope I didn't piss off too many people.
I hope not.
Maybe? I don't know.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
Okay.
Are we good?
Probably not.
Well,
we're as good as we can ever be.
All right. Okay. Do you remember what? Yeah.
Thank you. I have a script. The podcast listeners will know. We'll tell them in a second.
Okay.
Okay.
You ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next week. 'Daddy, can I talk to the crickets, please? Daddy.
Ask nicely, baby girl.
I thought I did. Oh, is this that moment you want to hear me beg? That's kind of kinky for being in the recording. Not everybody might consent to that.
Go ahead, baby
girl. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. First of all, podcast listeners, right before we did our standard closing, he was pointing to his shirt because he was wearing his Keep It Kinky Y'all shirt. I'm wearing the hashtag baby girl shirt. It is purple. It is like, it's technically a large. I don't think I've lost that much weight, but it fits so big on me and I love it. I love it. I don't think that's either I've shrunk or it's just a large. Makes me happy. I'm very comfy in it. I want to take my bra off, but I'm not doing that on camera or while we're recording audio either. Yeah, I feel like I let my bitch side out more in this episode than I normally do. Hey, if you ever wanted to know what I'm like when the camera and the mics are off.
Maybe just a smidge.
Well, and you know, it's funny because I feel like the people who asked the questions were genuinely like, help me, I don't want to fuck up. But as I was thinking of the answers, I was thinking of all the people who, like, don't think to ask the question. I was getting mad at them.
Well, you know, I have to say this. I know that in the beginning of this and on for the live stream, that will live
in infamy forever.
Yes. But, you know, it'll be edited out of the podcast, but I intend to save that clip of audio.
God. And you are a digital hoarder who saves everything.
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay, so I want to do mail first. I do want to go back through the live chat for the live stream on YouTube. Mm-hmm. For podcast listeners, for some people, it's like, I only want audio. I can only do audio, whatever. Every once in a while, if you get just some time, you want to get to know some other Kingsters, just like check out any one of them, any of the live streams that are the podcast episodes, because the people who are in the comments, and sometimes it's different people and sometimes it's, you know, same people over and over again. Oh my God, they're answering each other's questions. They don't need us. Like, we're eye candy. They are helping each other out, and I think that's freaking amazing. Okay, so we did get a postcard.
Yes, we did.
This is me hoping that by the time podcast listeners can hear my voice, I will have posted it to our Instagram. It is from Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. I adore Washington, D.C., not the people in it. Let's not be crazy. We're not the politicians at it. I mean, I got a couple of favorite politicians, but we're not going there. The people who live in D.C., lovely people. I know people who live in D.C., but I used to travel to D.C. once a year, every year for work, and we tended to stay by DuPont Circle in the Georgetown area, and I got to know the metro system there. I could actually do that by myself with nobody holding my hand, and I loved it, and I would go to the shops, and I would go to the bookstore, and this, and it was great, and I love D.C., and I've been wanting to go back forever, but I don't work for a company that will pay to send me there or put me in a good hotel for a week, so I don't know when I'm going there again. But we did get our, a postcard, and I remember you, B Mercy, even though I can't remember if that's your handle on anything or not, but I remember you, cause I have seen your name many, many times. It's hello from one of your DC area Kingsters. I just got back from a trip in not quite our neck of the woods. But since you don't live there, I'm going to say where you are, Sanibel Island in Tampa. I never did go to Sanibel Island. Did you ever go to Sanibel Island? I mean, yeah. I went to Tampa many times. But they road tripped. And so waved in our direction when you passed on I-75. Oh, Lord, I hate I-75. We're waving back, though. We're still near I-75, quite frankly. Trip was fantastic. I got to see manatees. Oh, I am so jealous. I love manatees. And I have not gotten to see them in a very long time. Where we used to live, it was a little bayou inlet, and even when winter, they would come
in up. Winter, they would come in because the water, it was warm water in there.
I never gotten to see them. So it says, I hope all is well in the Lord's Brownstone household. I like that. They said, and I don't envy your heat.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, the heat has been really bad.
Yeah.
In general, like across everywhere. But yeah, there's a couple times I'm like, okay, I might consider Northern State for a few minutes. It's freaking hot around here.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I am going to look through. Well,
see, I like CDC's comment. What'd you do?
I don't know what I did. I truly don't know what I did. I didn't break anything. We're still streaming, right?
Nope, you didn't break it. It's still going.
Oh, good. I'll use this.
Yeah,
then.
Just use that.
Sorry. So for podcast listeners, I hit a button and I still don't know what I did, but I made the screen go away. Okay. Okay, I'm looking to see if there's any questions.
Mm-hmm.
I love how y'all like just chat. And I know we're going to... So podcast listeners, you didn't hear this at the beginning part of the episode because we did that for live stream only, but we're changing the time of our live stream, not the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we're gonna lose some people because it's a bad time of day for you. But, oh, the internet is an issue.
Yeah.
Let's see. What have you been doing while I'm searching through?
Okay, so while you're doing that, I did some things since last week with all the stuttering and stuff and started looking into things. One of the things I did do on the streaming software we use, I did lower the resolution, which apparently has helped. I think the picture looks a little better.
So I will let our YouTube watchers tell us, because I don't know.
So, you know, that seems to have helped a little bit. I did go through, check all the connections throughout everything. Now, one of the things we did mention briefly last week was that they were upgrading, or we had the potential to upgrade our internet.
Yeah.
Okay. And they were offering a 35 megabit upload. I'm going to get a little geeky here for a minute or two. So that got me curious what we currently had. So I started digging.
Keep talking.
Yeah,
you were reading. I saw you.
Okay. So I looked into first what we currently have for our upload. Our upload stream is currently at 30 megabits per second. So the next level was 35 megabits.
Right, for like an extra $30 a month.
An extra 40.
40, okay. Now our download speed would have been like ridiculously good.
Right.
But it didn't help our upload.
Did not help the upload all that much. So then I got curious to see what our upload actually is. So I started doing some speed tests on our network here.
Jeremy tells me he's doing a speed test. I'm thinking of The Flash on on the CW. We watch on Netflix, but still, I'm thinking of The Flash.
I've got to increase my speed.
He hit Mach 2 that one time.
The speed force.
The speed force.
I need more speed force.
Oh my God, our geek is showing.
So anyway, I did a speed test. And the first one I did came in around 25 megabits. So then I got a little more curious and started looking at different times of the day. Now, I get up ridiculously early in the morning.
Yes, he does. I do not.
No, she doesn't. So at 5:30 in the morning, even with having...
I'm not live streaming at 5:30 in the morning, Daddy. Red. But, I call Red.
But we get a 32 megabit upload at 5:30 in the morning.
No, I'm not doing it. It would just be a bunch of grunts. That's all I'm capable of doing at 5:30 in the morning.
So, but at any rate, at that hour of the morning, we have an incredibly high upload. I tested during the day, middle of the day, when people are at work and not home, things like that. We sit around between 28 and 30 megabits. Mm-hmm. All right. In the evening, it does drop. But so you understand, we are on what we have available to us here is cable internet.
We didn't pick a good internet or a good neighborhood that's got fiber optics.
No.
Which is available in our area in specific
neighborhoods. In specific neighborhoods.
That we can't
not
afford
here.
To live in.
Yeah. So. In the evening, because with the cable, it's basically a shared network, we hit generally about 19 to 20 megabits upload.
Yeah, and if it decides to dip down, then it's even harder.
Right.
So we had to make some hard decisions.
Yeah.
It won't affect, it doesn't affect the podcast at all. I really was ready to shut down. Not all of YouTube, but just live streaming, because I'm already annoyed that we don't have the kind of camera I'd like us to have. And then we were having the internet issues. I was not happy.
Yeah.
Okay, so a couple things. And this question did end up getting answered, but I want to give our perspective too. And that, oh goodness, was it Eva who asked the question? But it was about if you set up your own munch and you call like a restaurant, do you have to tell them what your group is about? That is depends on the area that you live in and your comfort level. Mm-hmm. I have heard used, we are a club.
Yeah.
I have heard we talk about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard we talk about alternative lifestyles. And then sometimes you don't have to say anything. You typically, if you... It depends on the place and their questions, but like if you go and you want to book somebody's private back room at a set time every month, they might ask more questions than if you're just trying to get a real big table in a restaurant.
I have heard some people have even used, and you're going to get giggle at this.
Oh,
but,
good. I like to giggle.
That they are like a Renfair club or a medieval.
So when they pull out the floggers, nobody blinks.
Yeah.
So I don't know what was said to the place that our old munch was held at, and it's been there for several years now. But we always get the back room. They know we're coming every month. We take care, if there's a problem, like somebody slips out on the check, that has happened, that is mortifying for all of us paying customers. We take care of it immediately, blah, blah, blah. We over tip, like we are really good customers.
Right.
So they want us to come back. But once they kind of figure out the tenor of your conversation, especially if it's like a back room, side room kind of situation, you will usually get the same one or two people who are willing to accidentally walk in while you might be talking right. about a flogger. And, you know, so.
And because that munch was held in a back room, you know, the conversation sometimes would always start out, generally start out quite innocently.
And quiet. It starts out innocent and quiet.
Over as time goes into the munch, things kind of get a little bawdy, a little rowdy, and the waitress will come and just, you know,
if we don't remember to close the
doors. If we don't
doors,
remember to do it, they will just close the doors.
If you can get the luxury of a restaurant that will let you come in, even though you can't guarantee an amount of people or dollar amount spent, because you can't, because people going to a munch have to be free to just have water if they can't afford to eat, right? Will let you have a back room where you can close the door, you can have a different kind of munch than if, like, the last one we went to, which is our new home munch, where we were at a large table in the middle of the restaurant. So we had to be careful, but we still talked about stuff. We just didn't scream it out. And we always made sure there were no children around and our server wasn't around. So, because we didn't, this was not something that we were going to get that server every single time.
Right.
If you can get a room, you can establish a relationship with a place too.
And like somebody just made the point, our server was very, very pleased with the group because she did very well in tips.
Yes. You can't force anybody who goes to a munch to buy something. You encourage it if possible because it makes them want to let you come back. And for those who can afford to do so, definitely overtip, okay? Because you can't always know if they heard something that you didn't really mean for them to hear. So it's just a good, easy way to keep folks from going, I don't have to listen to what they're talking about. They're not talking to me. It's fine. And that they want you to come back, you know.
Right.
But you cannot make it. You can't tell somebody that they have to order something or you're going to have. I mean, could you set that rule? Yeah, it's your munch. You can set any rule you want. I would never recommend that because you are going to force out people who don't always have the means to do that. That they could come and get a glass of water, or maybe they could order a soda and be able to leave a tip. But if you're like, oh, there's a $10 minimum, then you might have priced some people out, and I just wouldn't recommend it. And Jennifer mentioned, we were talking about FetLife. Jennifer mentioned that the FetLife journals are a great resource tool for learning. People who post stuff on FetLife, like they post like, this is what I think, and this is. You actually did that with a blog post I wrote. You posted it on the Loving BDSM.
Right. A post you wrote for Loving BDSM.
Right.
I posted it to the Loving BDSM journal. Yes.
The journals can be a great place to read other people's perspectives. If you are new and you're like, oh, how do I know if this person is right or wrong? All you have to look for is, are they claiming that this is the end-all be-all of all BDSM? The one true way is what you usually hear. Or are they talking about it from their personal perspective? As long as they're couching it in terms of, this is how I do it, this is what I think, this is what worked for me. Then you're getting a personal perspective that might not apply to you, but it can broaden your horizons a bit. Mm-hmm. And that is always a good thing. The more you know in BDSM, just the more that you know that there is no single way to do things, the more you can relax into finding what works for you and being less worried about whether you're doing it, quote, right or not. And then CDC said that we probably need an executive assistant.
Yes.
That is so true.
Yes,
I'm going to need a lot more people to join us on Patreon is all I'm saying. If you don't afford that. We actually had to redo our budget
because
all our living expenses went up with this move. Short-term pain for long-term gain. Oh, God. And so some of the things we wanted to do on the business side of things, we had to pull back on, and we can't do those things either. So,
That's the downside to renting. We're paying more in rent than what we would be if we had a mortgage.
Yeah, exactly. So there's all that stuff going on. And Jennifer, you're right. Vanilla servers don't care as much as we think they do. And it does. And here's the thing. I'm learning this as I get older. I know this is not universally true because nothing is universally true. But nobody on this planet thinks about us as much as we think about us. When you're walking in the street and you're like, oh my God, are people staring at me? Do I look funny? Am I... 99% of the time, nobody knows at all. When you're sitting in a restaurant having a conversation, as long as you're not standing on the table screaming it, as long as you're not, you know, you're modulating your tone, nobody can hear you, or fewer people than you realize can hear you. And yeah, most servers, as long as you're not ass to them, they don't really care. It's still polite to stop the conversation when they come up, so whatever. But people really do not pay nearly as much attention to us as we worry that they do. Mm-hmm. I mean, truly. Now, as a highly anxious person who is constantly watching, I have gone through most of my life assuming that everybody watches me as closely as I watch them. No, they don't. Some people, they're, you
except
know,
for me.
I hope you're watching me. You're my daddy. You're supposed to. And Ben says we can't have an executive assistant until we have a chief technical officer. Okay.
Okay.
I don't know what y'all know about hiring, but I've been an executive assistant. They are cheaper. A tech officer. Say it. So, ooh, you just bumped your mic. Sorry, podcast listeners. Bonking the microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. us. I don't know. It feels very strange to openly say, I will not be emailing back as many people as email me. It makes me feel like it's a cold-hearted bitch. But also, it really does take, and you know, there's some people, there was one, I was like, oh my gosh, I need to go back and reread that because I didn't read an email as closely as I would to be able to reply to it. And I just saw that I saw like the first couple sentences and they were going through a really rough time. And when I went back to reread it, so I was prepared, like I was in the mental space, like, let me answer a question. You know, all they wanted was to be heard. They just wanted a little encouragement. And I was like, I can do that. And then I felt awful because I made that email wait until I could like pay attention to it. Because I mean, they're going through a rough time and a heartbreak. Yeah. And we get those kinds of stories. And that's a massive amount of trust. And it is very humbling to know that there are total strangers on the internet who are like, I'm going to bare my soul to you and tell you everything about what is happening to me. And I never want somebody to feel invisible or ignored. I have lived that life of feeling invisible or ignored. Mm-hmm. I think everybody has a moment in their life where you were not seen and you were not heard and you know, and it's an awful feeling. And I think I will probably always make time when I can in between, you know, might take a while, but for those people, because it takes a lot to put that out there in the world. But then I get these, you know, people are like, I've got this question. Thank you, because now I've got a topic for a podcast that I will answer your question, but I will do it this way. It's creating those boundaries so that we can help as many people as possible.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately the goal, I think.
Right? And on a little bit more of a fun note.
What? I want to be down in the dumps and kind of serious.
I've been learning something new.
Oh, you also have something else to tell people about.
Do I?
Yeah. What you ordered earlier this week.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I have been learning something new. A couple years ago, I was gifted a whip. And unfortunately, I was never able to really work it well at all.
Oh yeah, it was pretty painful to watch him. He wouldn't touch me with it. It was just painful to watch.
No, I wasn't anywhere near touching anybody with it.
He couldn't get it near me anyway. It didn't matter.
So since we have moved here, through our local community, I met somebody who is very handy.
She loves her whip.
She loves her whips. And she has taught me some whip basics, and I have been practicing cracking a whip.
While I'm trying to work, he's cracking a whip in the living room.
Timing is not, you know,
and I'm trying
perfect.
To compose, like I'm trying to write. So like all of my mental energy is in putting words together in ways that make sense.
I'm cracking the whip, making sure you're doing some work.
I found, y'all, I was like, I am... I'm so proud of you. And you are doing so much better. And I know that you're feeling really good about that. And I look at you making this progress. I'm going to need you to stop now. Just not now. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've been at this point, you know, we got together over the weekend, and she was showing me some whip techniques, and since I've been practicing, and yeah, it's something. I mean, I still need to learn some control.
I was gonna say, at what point do you think you'll be ready to try this on a human being named Kayla Lords?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, but what I have been doing is I'm a pillow.
Well, no, you were doing a bag.
Well, I was doing a bag before,
so I have bags. We're book people, and we're library people, and so that's a lot of books. And so we have bags, and I have bags I bought from Barnes & Noble that are like book-themed bags. And one was sitting on, I did not tell you this, I don't know if you know this, one was hanging off of the edge of one of our kitchen chairs, where he was standing in the living room and he was cracking the whip. Well, I have my bag today, went to the library, and I look at my bag, and there is a triangular-shaped hole.
Oh, dear.
In the middle of my bag.
Well, see, I'm hitting the middle of the bag.
Yeah. And then I was like, and he wants to hit me with that thing? Well, and also my book bag. It's one of my book bags.
We have plenty of other bags. We have lots and lots of those bags.
Lots of them. And I know where the Barnes & Noble is. I can go buy more if I
need to. Yes. So, at any rate.
You have one more thing. You have to tell them. He will be modeling this as soon as it arrives.
For a long time, I have been wanting a utility kilt.
Kilt, y'all. Man legs hanging out. John Brownstone legs hanging out of a kilt. Just put it in your mind. It's beautiful.
When we were in the UK, I had even tried to seek one out while we were there.
Yeah, we ended up finding the really posh Scottish tartan kilt shop. We're too poor to walk into that store. Yeah. And not Scottish enough, definitely, to go in there.
And, that didn't pan out. And then it kind of got lost in the shuffle until I was asked what I wanted for my birthday. Mm-hmm. And a utility kilt has been ordered and is on its way here.
And you're
as
tracking
we speak.
It. Like every I'm day he's like, it. I ordered it and then it's on its way. It
should
out.
Yeah, I'm like a little kid. All right. I am. I'm like
I know.
A little
I
kid.
Can't wait. I can't wait. I'm very excited for you. Also, you have sexy legs. You have amazingly sexy legs. And everybody will get to see
you,
them.
You might be a little biased, you know.
You have genuinely sexy legs. Mm. You spent too many years riding a motorcycle every single day, every day of the week. Y'all, that was his main form of transportation.
Yeah.
And prior to that, you spent way too many years working outside. Like, you've got, even after all this time, you've got some serious muscle definition in your legs. And you've whittled off most of the extra fat on your body, so it's like, legs. And then you've got this darker skin tone, so they're not like the blinding whiteness. I possess these legs, so I can say this. The pasty white paleness where you have to wear sunglasses to look at those legs. I have those legs. He does not. You've got this like nice tawny olive colored skin. Oh my God, your legs are so sexy.
Wow.
So after, first of all, this will not be his last kilt, if I have anything to say about it. And apparently Instagram will just become the John Brownstone in the kilt channel. So my question, and I know it's going to be your scene thing. You're going to wear it to the club and stuff, right?
Probably,
right.
Yes.
My question to you.
Uh-huh.
What will you be wearing underneath said kilt?
It's for me to know.
And I'll be able to find out real quick. I'm here for the kilt. I'm just here for the kids.
Okay. All right.
And I'm enough. Dancing again.
What yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Oh my God. That, I mean, truly, if you're there's like layers to my being comfortable in a situation or with people or doing a thing. And the moment the you know, I just say what I think, that's a certain layer of comfort. But there is a deeper layer, and it is when the singing and dancing come out, because you are usually the only human being that ever hears my caterwauling, and that is all we can call it. and I'm just letting however many people decide to download an episode or watch on YouTube, like, I'm sorry, but clearly we're family now. Because I do it with my mom. I mean, you know, so that's the layer of comfort we're in. And I'm sorry your ears bleed. It's just a thing.
There's certain songs that I have told her.
It's a
hard limit.
I'm not allowed to sing those.
She is not allowed.
It's so bad.
No, she is not allowed to do that.
It's so bad. And the thing is, I've been certain like little snippets of songs I've been singing to myself for years. Like, this is almost like how I make conversations sometimes. I don't think in song lyric, but sometimes I kind of do. Like, my response is to throw out a song lyric. And I've done it for years, and nobody had ever told me how bad it was until the man who's supposed to love me more than life itself was like, you have got to stop doing
that. Our relationship is based on honesty, baby girl.
Which means everybody in my life has been lying to me at this point. Yeah, my singing's bad. I don't mind. I'll make a joke out of it. I mean, there's some songs I purposely sing bad. Just to make the kids just want to curl up and
oh
fall.
Yeah, we
that's
both
fun.
Yeah,
that's
fun.
We're those parents.
That's entertainment.
Yeah, we're those parents. So, okay, so we probably need to stop talking, even though y'all know me. Yeah. I could keep going. My book is calling my name.
Right.
In the past 2 weeks, I've like read 3 whole books.
And I want you to finish that book because I want to read it now.
I know, and I want to go get book 2 out of the library. We are library people. We're book people.
Yep.
I suck at this like promote our shit crap. I wrote a blog post today. It'll be linked in the show notes. to help new people like where to start. It really just compiles most of the resources we already have on our resource page.
Yeah.
But in a blog post, because we were realizing a lot of the questions we get are, where do I start in BDSM? Which is like the broadest freaking question you could ever ask somebody. So, yeah, I did that too. Forgot all about that. Probably should have mentioned it earlier. Oops. Yeah, I need somebody who can, like, we need help.
Yeah.
On so many levels. I know. That's like the truest statement.
I know.
Ever. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Oh, and Jennifer says that she was singing and dancing through the supermarket and kid was dying of embarrassment. That's the best time.
That is
the
best.
Oh my God.
That is
I now understand why my parents sought out ways to embarrass me in public. It feels so good.
Yeah.
It makes up for those times when they were toddlers and lost their shit in public and I was embarrassed. It's like, yes, this is payback. Yeah, I live for these moments.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we're going to go. Right. We got to go.
Yeah.
We love you guys.
Love you.
Thank you for sticking with the insanity. And for those of you on the live stream side who won't be able to watch once we change times, I'm sorry. I'm going to miss you. I hate this. Podcast, video, it's all still there. It's just the live stream is weird. And yeah, that's it. Bye. You have to hit the button, Daddy. Hit the button, Daddy.